You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And this is episode 15. Happy Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day week here in 2023. And today we're going to be talking our like core rules for dating on the apps. And what our process is when we are getting ourselves involved in that. And we're going to kind of talk about Valentine's Day, being single versus being partnered, and yeah, our experiences through the years on that. Should be a fun discussion. I'm excited. But before we get into it, we're going to roll into our Snap Crackle Pop Culture news for this week. Natasha, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, we have the Super Bowl. Rihanna performed.
Yeah.
Why do you have retiring from music here?
Because everyone's saying Rihanna's retiring from music. Do you think she's retiring?
I don't think so. I think right now she's in her, like, I'm a businesswoman and I'm a mom era. So I feel like she's going to get back to it. I mean, she's going to be creating music probably her whole life. It's hard not to when you're creative that way.
I know. I've heard a lot of people in my neighborhood were saying this was like her big send off to music. And on the other hand, I feel like I've been hearing other people like on the internet talking about how she's been working on new music. So it's like very two opposing ideas. And I don't know which is right because I haven't been following too closely, but I enjoyed her performance, and I don't think she's going to retire forever from music.
No, I don't think she's going to retire forever from music. I don't know. I mean, she just put out the song for Black Panther, so like that's her newest single. There's just a lot of speculation. No one knows what Rihanna's going to do. She's going to do what she wants to do. And I mean, she did announce her pregnancy at the Super Bowl. A lot of people were very confused, but I thought it was very
I thought it was very obvious that she was announcing her pregnancy. It was the first thing she did was go like this and rub her belly. Yeah.
As a pregnant woman does.
Yeah, I watched it after the fact, like the next morning, and you had told me that people were confused about her being pregnant, but you thought it was very obvious. And then as soon as it started, she was like, look, rub, I'm pregnant. And I was like, okay, she's obviously pregnant. I don't know how anyone can misconstrue that.
Like her whole outfit was like directing towards the pregnant belly.
Yeah, it was like, look, I am pregnant.
There was a lot of like, people were like, oh, I want to look back at her body like from 3 months ago or 6 months ago and see what it looked like. I'm like, you know, that's going a little too far. I'm like, I think she made it quite clear.
Yes.
yeah, the speculation was interesting, but I just think like she wants those babies quickly, and she wants to, you know, get through those phases and then probably focus on, you know, other things,
whatever
in
she's
life,
working on afterward. Yeah,
but yeah, right, I now, mean, Fenty Beauty is so successful. They like invited all of these influencers out to the Super Bowl that week, like all the big like TikTok beauty people, and it was so fun to see their experience of the Super Bowl, because they're like, I'm just here for the Rihanna concert.
Yeah,
but they got all this like really cool product. I love Fenty Beauty. I use their contour stick.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I know she's been very, very successful with her makeup line and her clothes, so it's very cool to see her back performing, because it's been a while. Yeah. Did you like the performance? I was like, it was surprising to me that she didn't do more of her early, like, core original hits. But I guess she's had so many hits. It's like, I just remember Rihanna churned out album after album after album. She worked really, really hard constantly on music. So that's the only reason that when people were saying she's retiring, I was like, I guess I could see that she did do so much work there already. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like you said, when you're creative in that way, I don't know if you could just shut it down forever.
Yeah,
but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I really liked the performance. I thought it was cool. I wanted a more like, I wanted a bigger entrance for her, but I just think like she was just there and it started. I'm like, wow, okay, it's starting.
I kind of just I like the outfit changes, but I understand she's pregnant and it would probably be way more difficult to do these quick changes.
Naomi says, I was hoping for a surprise guest. Honestly, yeah. I wasn't. I kind of just wanted it to be her and hear her music, since she hasn't really been in the limelight with her music in a while.
I really wanted Eminem to come out and then to do Love the Way You Lie, because that's my favorite.
I do
so
love that song.
Good.
It is good.
But she has so many good collabs too. So it's, she's just again, just so many hits. It's just so hard to choose a mashup for 9 minutes. And yeah, I wanted Tom to come out for Umbrella. Emily said, me too. Now when same. I hear Umbrella, I think of Tom Holland. And I, because that's where I fell in love with Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. It's our love song. but okay, moving on. Oh, wait, real quick. Do you have a favorite Super Bowl performance that you like remember? Remember it?
Lady Gaga.
Me too.
And probably Katy Perry.
Emily says Bruno Mars 2014. I remember when I was little, I really loved Britney Spears with, I think she was with Aerosmith when they did Walk This Way.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Walk This Way. All right. Well, maybe it was in like 2001 and I was a wee child. But J-Lo and Shakira were so good too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think if I were to like say three standouts for me would be Lady Gaga. She's my favorite and it was amazing to see her rock the Super Bowl. And then J-Lo and Shakira were amazing, and Beyonce.
So okay, so Beyonce good. was Bruno Mars' guest. That's what Abby said.
Was she his? I don't even literally don't remember Bruno Mars. Only remember Beyonce.
I only remember Beyonce.
She
Alex
did it.
And I were like, hasn't Beyonce done this? Yeah, Beyonce's done this.
I don't know. I remember her Formation song.
Yeah.
Like, let's get in formation. That one. That I don't remember her other performance, though. Maybe it was a while back, and I just... Wait! No! She had Destiny's Child come up, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I do remember. Okay. Yeah, that was really, really good. All right. Let's move on to number two on our list today. Natasha, you want to take this one too?
Is this also mine?
It's kind of yours. I wrote down the Rihanna performance so we could talk about it, but I didn't have any pop culture that popped up that I was like, that's something I'm super interested in.
Okay, so Shania Twain has a new album out. Have you listened to it?
I haven't yet. It's on my list, but I'm going back.
I told you earlier this week.
I know you did. It's because I listen to that albums when I'm writing, and I'm going back into writing now. But I've been editing a video for the last, like, 4 days, 5 days straight.
Okay, well, I love this album. It's reminds me of a more like Up.
Come On Over,
probably. Not. There's like this whole. It's more like poppy than it is like country western. But there are more. There are some like country western songs, but it's called Queen of Me, and there's a whole song that's like Queen of Me, and it kind of gives like. Like Gwen Stefani meets Shania Twain.
All right. Cool.
And yeah. And then there's a few songs that remind me of other songs. Like there's a song in there that like kind of at the beginning reminds me of Bruno Mars' Marry Me. And then there's another song that reminds me of a Katy Perry song from her first album. So that was weird. I'm wondering if other people hear it when they also listen
Katy
to it.
Perry. Okay. Well, I'll be listening this week.
Yeah. But I've been playing it as I work because it makes me want to dance.
Nice.
Okay. And my last bit of news, this is very specific niche. Okay. okay. So I told you to read this fan fiction when you're like, Christina and I want to do a fan fiction episode, but Christina doesn't have a lot of experience in the fan fiction world. And I was like, you should read this fan fiction. It's called Landscape with a Blur of Conkers. And this is my favorite Raylo fan fiction. Okay. I started in fan fiction from Twilight, then I skipped to Jermaine, and now I'm in Raylo. And this is being published as a novel, and it's going to be called The Hurricane Wars. There's a lot of Raylo fan fiction being published. I think there's about 5 or 6 books coming out this year that used to be Raylo fanfic. And if you remember, Allie Hazelwood's, what's that one called? The Love Hypothesis.
Yes.
That was Raylo fanfic. I'm surprised about this because The Landscape with the Blur Conquers is so rooted in Star Wars lore. Like the one of the coolest things about this story is that this author is so smart, and she has taken all these little bits from Star Wars and made it work in the Star Wars world. I don't know how she's going to do it, but she's taking these characters and the whole story and making it into a fantasy world. And so I think it's going to be completely different because there's got to be a lot of different factors, I think, in the magic system that she's creating to make it stand out and be different from the original fic. So I'm excited. It comes out, I think, this October.
Nice. Naomi's wondering if any published books used to be Jermaine fanfic, and I know you love that. Do you know what I mean? Why couldn't I say Jermaine?
I don't think there is. Fun fact though, Cassandra Clare used to write Jermaine fanfiction.
City of Bones. City of Bones. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know if City of Bones is necessarily Jermaine fanfic, but I think it's like derivative of Cassie's work that she used to do.
Cool
on fanfiction.net, or it might have been LiveJournal.
I was never involved in that world, so I never was clear on any of it. But all right, well, that's all our Snap Crackle pop culture news this week. It was a slower news week for me. But before we move into what right now, we want to quickly remind y'all that we appreciate your listenership so much, and we want to say thank you for supporting the pod. And if you haven't yet, we would love it if you followed us for free on your favorite podcast app, if you hit the subscribe button on the YouTube channel, which is called youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. If you hit the like button, if you're watching this, leave us a comment. Interacting with us really, really helps support the pod. And if you haven't told a friend that you think would enjoy the pod about the pod, we would love it if you would, because that is a great way to spread the word. And yes, if you want to support the pod in a more intense way, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. And we offer for a lot of cool perks. The biggest being, not the biggest, like the most prominent being, yes, our Fangirl Tea Time, which is an extra half an hour show where we delve into more personal stuff. Today, we're going to be talking about, you know, extending our discussion on dating app rules and people we know in our lives that are married that met in dating apps, and whether we would, you know, dating app stuff that's more private.
That we want to share with our community that we've built and grown.
Our core community, but not like broadcast live everywhere here. So that is available at the $5 tier on our Patreon, our Team Jacob Patreon level. And then we have two other levels with lots of other fun perks. So check that out in the show notes. There's a link there. All right. Yes. Moving on. What right now? Okay. Natasha, what are you reading this week?
We are both reading Chain of Thorns.
We are. Chain of Thorns still. Oh,
God damn it. I stopped like this morning because I forgot to do the Court of Thorns reading. And I have like...
Court of Thorns? A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay. You're right. Okay. And I have like 2 hours left in the audiobook. Like, I am in the end game. It is all right, happening.
Hold on. You're getting it confused now. So you're reading the audiobook for Chain of Thorns.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm also reading with my eyes. I have 2 hours left.
Okay. Because you were...
I keep switching back.
All right. Because you said A Court of Thorns, and then I don't want anyone to get confused.
Well, yeah, because I had to stop it, and I realized, oh, I need to do the reading for this week's episode. Yeah, there's too many thorns and too many chains and
thorns
too many roses.
Thorns is a key word in YA book titledom. So Chain of Thorns, for anyone who's joining us now and doesn't know, Cassandra Clare's final book in her Last Hours trilogy, which follows the children of the main characters in the Infernal Devices trilogy, the best trilogy of all time. And we're at the wrap-up, that we're getting to the nitty-gritty end of the book, and I have to strategically map out when I finish this book, because I need to be able to finish late at night and get up in the morning and spend the entire day filming a video about it. So I am planning to finish either Wednesday night, if I can, but like, I've been editing, so I'm probably at like the 68% mark, so I've got a good 32% of the book left still. But like, the finale has started. We're in act three. So I'm excited, but I haven't been picking it up because I know I'm gonna have trouble stopping, because I picked it up last night when I was supposed to go to bed early, and It was like 1:20, and I was like, I'll read for 10 minutes. I didn't read for 10 minutes.
Same. I read for like an hour.
I didn't do an hour. I read for like 15-20, and I was like, oh my god, I went way past when I wanted to go to sleep already. So I put it down because I knew it was just gonna get more intense. But I'm loving it so far, so I'm excited to keep going.
What obviously. TV shows are you watching?
Well, I already blew through all of You season 4, and I fucking, well, the first half. The second half comes March 9th, so it's not too far off. I fucking loved it so much. I love You, and, it's such a weird sentence. You is very creepy, and it's not everyone's cup of tea, but it is my cup of tea. And
it's not mine.
It's my cup of tea. I'm obsessed with it. And I loved season 3. And I was like, how can season 4 top season 3? And season 4 is a sick, twisted game of Clue. And I fucking loved it. And I'm so pumped for the second half. I blew through it so fast. I could not stop watching it. I was supposed to be doing many other things, and once I hit the last 4 episodes, every excuse I had to take a break to watch it, I did. And I finally took off for the night, because I was like, I have 2 hours of this to finish, and I am going to finish it.
Subtle Reed said she finished it the day it came out.
Yeah, I mean, they do such a great job because the main character is a serial killer. It's a very Dexter like show, so if you like Dexter, you might like You. And the lead character, though, you know, we know he's very, very, he's a serial killer. He's not a great person, but he wants to be a great person. And the writing does such a great job of bringing you back around to root for him to be a good person, even though we know he has a cycle and it's sick and twisted. But you just want him to have a redemption arc constantly. And I'm hoping that maybe he will, since it's the last. He'll never be redeemed. He's a serial killer. But I just want him to stop. I want him to stop.
Christine's like, you need to catch up. And I realized I went on my Netflix and I was like, I never finished season one. And then I started watching it and I was like, I'm not interested in this. And then I just had Christine spoiled like the entire rest of the show.
I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna tell you everything that happened. Love is Blind After the Altar also came out, which is just some silliness. Not silliness.
Oh, that's out.
It's like floof. Yeah. They stretch it and make it really dramatic the 1 year later for three episodes. And I've been watching Wednesday finally. So I'm on like episode 5 of Wednesday.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any movies? Oh, wait. You never finished it.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said I'm on episode 5. I'm on episode 5.
Oh. Okay, well, well, okay, here's the thing. Two of the shows Christine recommended to me and I both DNF'd. What? Yeah, I didn't finish You, and then I started Ultimatum and I didn't like it. So
I love Christina Ricci too. Sorry, Naomi said I love Christina Ricci. She's in Wednesday.
She is. All right. And moving on to movies. Jackets. I watched more movies.
Okay. What did you watch?
Well, I watched Birdie and this. Okay. So I watched Birdie and Rosalind and they both came out in September. I remember I had gotten invites to both like events for those movies. Well, we were in London and they're very similar. I mean, they're not, but like they're Rosalind is about Romeo's ex-girlfriend. And it's a really funny, like cute, witty rom-com set in like Romeo and Juliet. And it's really cute. Totally recommend that one. And there's a guy in it who's like a younger, hotter version of Pedro Pascal. And he's fire. I think a lot of people are like saying that he should play Rhysand. And I'm like, I could see it. I could totally see it. And then Birdie, which is written by, oh, what's her face? She wrote Girls, wife of producer guy of Taylor Swift. Lena Dunham. Thank you, Abby. Abby always remembers the names. she wrote Birdie, and it's another really cute, like, coming of age story about this young girl who her father wants to marry off, and it's the guy who plays the hot priest.
The guy who plays fuck? Oh, you mean Moriarty from Sherlock?
Moriarty, yeah.
Gosh, why can't I ever remember his name?
I can't ever, yeah. And it's a cute coming of age story. He wants to marry off his daughter and she tries to derail every single entanglement. And it's hilarious and it's cute and it's heartwarming. I loved it.
Nice.
Andrew Scott. Thank you, Naomi. I actually did not know that was his name.
I didn't know that was his name either. Do I just always call him Moriarty? Is that really his name?
I'm Hot Priest.
Are we sure that's his name? Why doesn't it sound familiar? Yeah, it is. What the fork? All right. Okay. So I tried to watch Your Place or Mine, which when I saw that it was coming out, I was all excited because it was Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher and Rebecca Bloom, is that her real last name? Rebecca Bunch is her fake last name. Okay. Rebecca Bloom from
Rachel Crazy. Bloom. Rachel Bloom.
Rachel Bloom. I was like, it doesn't sound right. We love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend here, and her name's Rebecca Bunch on the show, and it's very close to Rachel Bloom, and I always get confused. But yeah, so I tried to watch Your Place or Mine, and it was so boring. The first 20 minutes, the characters were just so bleh.
The premise. Stifling.
Yeah, and the premise was so bleh, and I was like, what is this? Yeah, like they had no personality, really. I was very confused. It was very cliche, like she was a mom that she didn't want to leave her kid, and he was a guy who didn't settle down, and it was like nothing else to them.
I know. I think Christina tried to watch it the same day, and yeah. She's texting me. She's like, "Your Place or Mine is stupid. I hated it. I only got like 10 minutes in." I was like, "Oh, me too." She's like, "Where did you leave off?" I'm like, 15 minutes in.
I left off 19 minutes in. I made it further than you. But I was so disappointed because I was really excited to sit down that night and watch that movie, and I just couldn't do it. That's what I went to Wednesday. I was like, I guess I'm going to watch Wednesday now.
Yeah, it was bad. Abby says Your Place or Mine doesn't get good until an hour in. It was not worth it.
Trading coasts too, so it's like they're not even together.
No, exactly. I'm like, what is the point of this?
Yeah.
It's like this you're wasting my time.
Yeah, I know. I want them to have their When Harry Met Sally moments now, please.
Please, thank you.
But yeah, the opening scene was not great at all. It really turned me off of it. It was like 2003, and then there was writing on the screen that was like, you can tell it's 2003 because there's arrow, flat ironed hair, arrow. It was like not funny things that they were pointing out at all. And I was like, this, just let us see the 2003. Stop telling us why it's 2003.
I didn't mind that part, but yeah, it was... Eh.
Ugh, the opening scene is so important and like sets the tone, and I was like, this is setting a bad tone for this movie.
Yes. Well, I think I kind of got a little inkling that it wasn't going to be good because they're like chemistry on the carpet. Did you see all that? Like, buzz
I
did. About that?
I saw. So there was all this stuff on all the platforms about it. But Reese was saying that, you know, they're acting in the movie, but she's best friends with Mila. So she feels weird being lovey-dovey with Ashton.
Which I think comes through, especially in those first 15 minutes. They just seem like.
Like, ugh. Not chemistry. Yeah, no, like, there's no chemistry between them at all.
Yeah. It was a bad pairing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was a weird role for Ashton, honest. You know what? I never like Ashton in any of his rom-coms. I only liked him as Kelso.
I liked him in Just Married. That was a funny one.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah, that one was fun. But all the other ones, like, I didn't like No Strings Attached. I didn't like a lot of those. Ones he did.
Yeah.
All right. It's got weird taste in rom-coms. Let's move on to our main discussion today. We are going to start this off with our rules for online dating. But before we even get into that, I think we should talk about briefly what apps like we've kind of tinkered with and which ones we prefer in terms of like the format and stuff. So do you have any opinions on this?
I mean, I started off on Tinder and I kind of liked the way I could make like my profile, like you could just like write in the paragraph and then put pictures in, and that was really easy. And then I went over to Coffee Meets Bagel. I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
I have heard of it, but I've never tinkered with Coffee Meets Bagel.
It was like in my early 20s because one of my guy friends had success there. And but then, like, you had to get all these bagels and talk to these people. Like, yeah, you had to, like gather the bagels. And then if you used them all up, you couldn't talk to anyone else.
I'm so confused. How did you get the bagels? Was it, like, like Mario? Like, did he have to jump on your stuff and jump for the bagels?
I don't remember, honestly. No, it just accumulated over time, I think.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so you would have to like take a break from the app unless you wanted to pay for the bagels.
Oh my god. Wait, so do you have a bio on Coffee Meets Bagel? Tinder?
You have a bio. It's more like Tinder in that way. And then last thing I did was, I think, I tried Bumble. So I did a whole photo shoot with Bumble where I was like, do Bumble. And then I was like, okay, so maybe I should try Bumble. And I don't like it because it's everything is in the girl has to make the first move, right? Is that how that works?
Yes, it is. It is. I just haven't done that one either. Well, okay, with Bumble, I was gonna try it because, you know, after you do one of them for a while, you're like, I guess I should try to mix it up and do a different one. And I was so confused by it immediately because I just saw a picture and no other information. And I was like, am I using this wrong? Maybe mm-hmm. I was just having a dumb day. But I don't want to just like someone based off of solely a picture. I need to read something. So I just deleted Bumble almost immediately.
I think I got Bumble while I was like messing around with Hinge, and I really like Hinge.
Yeah, so Hinge is really interesting because if you're not aware, it provides you with like a series of prompts, and even for the photos it gives you prompts so that you put a photo there and it could be like, you know, comedic that goes with the prompt, or you could also put videos, like a lot of people have like little video snippets now on Hinge, and like there's prompts for text. Everything. Yeah, some people are really lazy and will just put up pictures and not use prompts, and when they do that, I'm just like, you're not creative at all, so skip. On Hinge, like, you don't have a bio, but you do, like, it does show your name and your, like, what you do, where you're from, where you live, like, now, how old you are. Like, you can choose all these different options. Like, you can show, like, if you drink, smoke, like, all those different things so that it's there right in front of you. And with Tinder, what I like about Tinder is that it is like really easy to set up, but now there are a lot more things you can add to your profile so you can see other aspects of a person's personality, like whether they want like a relationship or not, and whether they're this or that. Like, it's very straightforward now, whereas Tinder used to just be like your little blurb and your six pictures.
Emily says, Cheyenne says, but I don't love that you can't put a bio, which is what I miss on Hinge.
Yeah. Well, the people who are good at Hinge, I feel like, find a little bit of a way to like write that sort of information into the questions. Mm-hmm. I know that some people just will answer the questions like really blasé, but I skip those people. Let's just go into our rules.
I have to read off what Nicole says. She goes, as a Jewish person, I have to be honest, I totally thought Coffee Meets Bagel was for Jews, lol, just because we love our bagels.
Nicole. Oh my gosh.
That's cute.
That is cute. I was going to read. Okay. Emily said that. No. What was I going to say? Whose was I going to read when you said the same Emily? Thing? I wasn't going to read Emily's. No. Now I'm confused because I feel like I was going to read something else. I have no idea. All right. Well,
we have some. Listen, everyone is very chatty in the chat this morning, and we have some people saying, Naomi says, I met my long-term boyfriend on Tinder.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Cheyenne says she met her boyfriend on Hinge, so.
We have some successes.
Yeah, I mean, Emily, there's a lot of successes.
My close friend is now married via Coffee Meets Bagel.
Oh my gosh. All right, so, okay. I mean, for background, my boyfriend, my ex-boyfriend now, John, I did meet him on Tinder too. And I feel like we dated for 3 years. So that was like a mild success story. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rules for online dating here. Now, I'll start us off, I guess.
You go first.
The most important thing I look for once we match is, like, can they send a text message? Okay. You wouldn't believe how many people don't know how to converse via word. What I've found is that, like, if they can't do that, they're not going to be able to converse in person, and I'm just going to be like the sole conversationalist. So if they say hi, nothing else, I'm like, wow, all right. I say hi back and they don't prompt any question. Like, when these people don't prompt a question, they don't know how to make a conversation. Like, when I go in with questions. And if the conversation keeps going when I'm asking questions and they're not, if I like their answers, I will make a joke about how you have to ask questions too to keep this conversation going, or else I'm dipping. And when I said dipping, I mean leaving. I don't know why I said it with that slang. But if they're just really answering the questions and not putting in any effort at all, then I'm just gonna be like, wow, so you can't speak, so bye.
I think if you're not putting in effort, then why are you here?
Why did you message in the first place?
At that point, I'm like, are you just trying to get quantity over quality? Because it sounds like it.
Even if they were just looking for like a fling, it's like you have to put in the effort to like get someone to want to even talk to you. You can't just like say hi, sup. This one person on Hinge, I said hi and I was like, hey, and he was like, what's up or something, and I like answered it as a joke. I was like, oh, nothing much, or and you're such a great conversationalist or something, and he was like, thanks. That's it. One word answer, and then I didn't respond, and then a week later he said hi again. I think he thought that I was genuinely being like, you're such a great conversationalist. I don't know. Like, how could you take that from hi, what's up?
And these are separate texts. You should always have like an icebreaker.
You need an icebreaker. I come when so I will message first sometimes because I know I have good icebreakers, but usually I'll wait for them to message. And as long as they ask a question, I'll come in with an icebreaker to save them for the next question.
Yeah. I think like another good rule is if you come in with a question and they're answering it and they're not asking you a question, then that's bye.
Well, I give them a second, like give them like one more back and forth. If there's still no questions, then it's like, okay, bye. You have to ask questions on these apps. Like, that's if they don't ask questions on the apps, they don't ask questions in real life. Like, it's a clear indicator. And I did an experiment like a few times with it, and it is a clear indicator.
I've seen so many stories on TikTok of women being like, this guy, I thought like this date was going terribly, you know, I was asking him all the questions and he got to talk about himself, and then he asked for a second date and she's like, hell no. I'm glad you had a great time, but you didn't put any effort into it.
Yeah, you have to be equal sides for conversation here. You can't just let someone ask you a million questions. And if you're on a date and they're just asking you a million questions, there's an issue there because you haven't gotten to ask any questions for them. You got to get to know them just same as they're getting to know you, or else it's not, the balance is so off.
Yes.
All right. You want to share a rule here?
Yes. So I have not played around with the apps in probably more than a year. But a lot of my rules come from being a plus size woman and not meeting like the normal beauty standards. The first thing I always do is I have to put like full bodied photos of myself like on the app. It doesn't matter. Like I want them to know exactly the way I look before they say like, yes, you know, swipe right. Because that has saved me a lot of heartache being like, just experiencing fat phobia on the apps. And it's like a battlefield I have to go into, and I have to like really work myself up and really think about it. And like every time I do it, it's just not fun for me. So it's like, that's why I'd rather meet someone in real life so that they know exactly the way I look, and they're prepared. But yeah, so like, I remember like my mom, she's like, put the best photo of you. And I'm like, no, I wanted them to see exactly the way I look. You know, I can pose and put those model photos that I put up, but there's, you know, I want them to know exactly what they're getting into. Cause the last thing I want to do is like go on a date and then the guy just looks disappointed. And that's happened to many of my friends before. So I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's like, I think in general, you want to put a full body of yourself for the same reason, because you hate, like, I have met so many people that present a completely different self on their dating app than in real life. And then immediately you're like, you were presenting a false persona, you know, and that's, you don't want to. You imagine when you're texting this person for however long that you're talking to this persona. So you get to know someone like fake in your head. And then like you see them in real life and they're completely different than like the persona they were putting out there. And it's an immediate turnoff because you just feel catfished. So like, I think that like what you're saying is completely like the way to go for everyone. You want like to present your real self.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emily says, I put pictures of myself that I feel shows my least favorite parts of myself because I want people to know what they're getting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, for sure. I just, you don't want someone to come in expecting something that's not there, because you're immediately starting off like this relationship with like a sort of a falsehood if you're just presenting these like really edited or like, you know, specifically
cropped in.
Yeah, different ways. Like, you want to present your real self. My next rule is it's something that I've discovered and now has become a rule for me. So on Hinge, that's the one I've been using when I go on. Love hiking. Everyone in the LA area fucking loves hiking. I don't know. Is that a universal thing? Every man on Hinge, and I'm just like, shut up. It's just walking.
It's just walking. I don't know.
I just had enough of it. But I was going to say, okay, so on Hinge, there's a place to put your job. And if someone doesn't have their job there, 98% of the time, they don't have a job. And I'm not at the point where I want to date someone without a job, because when you're without a job, you're in this like finding yourself lost period where you have to like learn to find, like, you have to figure out who you are again and like find your purpose again. And you don't have time to make a new person your priority in your life. You know, that's what I've learned throughout the years, because I've dated people who don't have a job, and it's never a fun situation for the other partner if you're just like first starting dating, because they can't fully like give their attention to getting to know each other. Like, you can't like equally be there, because that person has to find a job and they're worried and they're like not in a good mental space. You're not in a good mental space in that time. You're, you know, anxious and chaotic, and it's just, that's a no for me right now. Like, I've come to a point where, like, if you don't put your job down, like, you probably don't have one. And if you don't have one, then it's not a time for you to be dating.
I think Abby's is not me in not that me time right now. Laugh my ass off. Here's the thing.
In my early
Abby,
20s,
young.
It was different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're in your early 20s, like, a lot of people are finding themselves. But if you're, like, in your early 30s, and I mean, you're still finding yourself, you're at a point where, like, It's affecting your mental health, probably. That's, yes. I mean, I in my experience, because I, again, have dabbled in and not enjoyed it.
Naomi brings up a good point, and I want to know, what do you guys put down as your job on the apps? And Christine, do you ever link your Instagram?
Fuck no.
Fuck no. Yeah, no way.
When it's such a turnoff to me when dudes will be like, let's talk on Instagram, here's my handle, like I'm immediately. Like, I'm like, no, there's a reason I don't have my Instagram here. What do you put down as your job, Natasha?
Well, when I did have a full-time job, I didn't put content creator. I just said influencer marketing manager. Now I'll probably put down talent director, because that's my title at the company that I own. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I usually just pick the one that sounds more like not influencer.
Yeah, I mean, you want to ease into, I feel like, that aspect, because people do have preconceived notions, and there's such, yes, a stupid stigma. And there's such a broad range of what influencer means. I hate the word influencer. So, of course, I don't have that at all. I had author / content creator, because content is a lot of things now.
Yes.
And I do spend so much of my time doing that. So but most of the time people ask about books, like what kind of books do you write? And then I'll just include that I also make content about books, and it's very easy there. But I, you know, you don't want people to immediately go digging for all of your content, because my entire life is there. Like, you can find out everything. And you can also jump to any preconceived notion that you want. And at the same time, like, I know it's there. So I've had an experience where, like, I went on this one date with someone. We were talking, like, we had a great conversation over text. So I was like, okay, this person can talk. And they were a writer, and they obviously asked me about what kind of books I write and all that stuff. And when we were talking in person, like, he mentioned facts about me that I didn't tell him. And
wait,
then
I don't remember this.
Oh, I've definitely told you about it. And okay. I started being like, oh, I never mentioned that. And he was like, oh, yeah, of course you did. And it was like, you're like a New York Times bestselling, you know, like da da da. And I was like, I would never, ever, 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 ever be like, I'm a New York Times bestselling author. Like, ever. So I was like, I did not tell you that. And he was like, oh, yes, you did. Yes, he just like insisted that I did. And I was like, he did it. He obviously Googled me. And when you do that, like, just tell the person. If he would said, okay, I Googled you, like, you know, it would have been fine. But it made me so uncomfortable that he like said that I must have said it. And then knew, like, you know, some stuff about my book and everything. And at the end of the day, he was like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I did Google you. Like, but it took like 2.5-3 hours of talking to get to that point. And like, I was already like, you know, he was uncomfortable because he had lied, and I knew that he had lied, and I was uncomfortable, and I was like, this is not gonna happen. So I feel like being honest and upfront about that stuff is so much better, because like, of course I understand you could have Googled me because I Googled you. Like, I'm gonna make sure I'm not dating like a serial killer, so I'm gonna do everything I can to just double check that before I like meet this person in person. But at the same time, I'm not gonna be like, no, I don't know that. I mean, I'm not gonna spurt the facts about you that I found. like I want to wait to get to know them in person. But at the same time, if you do know stuff about me and you're like using it in conversation, like, just own up to the fact that you just Googled it and saw it. Like, it's not that big of a deal, because obviously it's out there.
I remember when I went on my first date with my one and only boyfriend, and I was like telling him some things about like my life and my experience. And this was like when I was 23, 24. I think I was about to turn into 24. He had definitely, he was looking at me with wide eyes, and he definitely had watched that video where I had posted that went viral, like Never Kissed 24 at 24. And like that video was so I like just bared everything, like not vulnerable. Only like my romantic experience, but also like everything with my family. And he had gone and watched that before, like we had like our first date, and I was like, oh, okay, so you know everything now.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, but at the same time, like, it's out there, so it's like a balancing act, I feel like. Like I know with John, he was like, I didn't watch any of your stuff, like I want to get to know you in person. I really appreciated that. And there was I talked about this date on Fangirl Tea Time. But I went on a date this year, and they had gotten my name like when we exchanged texts, and Apple iPhone just told them my full name. Oh, and yes. I was so mad because he was like, oh, the iPhone just told your whole name. And I was like, okay, don't go there yet, because like, don't Google me yet. And he was like, oh, it's too late, I'm on your Instagram. And he was like telling me like all these different things that he's watching on my Instagram. But at the same time, I appreciated him like saying it and like joking about it, rather than like being like, oh, I didn't, like,
yeah,
rather than like when we meet him saying like stuff about me or knowing more and not telling me. Like, I like to know if someone knows something, and because it's so different when I Google someone, I find like a LinkedIn page and like know if they have Facebook friends. You Google me and you can literally like track my life story all the way back to forever.
All the way back to when Paul was a wee child.
I know. Like, before that. I have, like, stories where I'm talking about before that. So it's just, like, I don't want people to go into, like you know, a date like that unless I know, like, exactly what they know.
Yeah. Yeah, Katie says it creates a power imbalance. Exactly. It does. This is why we don't share our social medias with...
Yes, it does.
...potential suitors.
It does. And there's, of course, like, so many exceptions to those rules, because, of course, if you, like, meet someone who does something... Like, if you meet, like, a YouTuber person... Like, and then you get to know them. Like, it's kind of feels much more equal because they have the same amount of their life online.
Yes.
So it's not such a weird imbalance. So.
And it's also like, it's so much easier to stalk those people because they're not actually looking, unless they're like interested in you. But like if you're watching their stories, I just went through all this.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that we are just a drop in the pond of how many people are actually watching all their stuff. Like, you can't like go and track to see. Like,
well, everyone's like, if you're always looking like at see their who... stories, they're gonna see you. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's true. And sometimes I don't care.
I hate the stories thing. Like, I get so paranoid. I just like don't want to look at them because I don't want them to think that I'm looking at them.
I mean, you can always like you could always log on to incognito on your phone and then look at stories.
What do you mean log on to incognito? What are you talking about?
You can
go
on Instagram.com if they have a public profile and then look at their stuff so that they don't know that it's you.
I get paranoid. I think that they would somehow see it.
You're not logged into your account. You're not logged into your account.
I am logged into my account.
No, if you just go on Instagram.com and don't log into your account.
I don't want to log out of my account.
You're on a web page, dum-dum. You're not.
Never mind. What do you think? I never use Instagram online. That's how I get around when I delete
the
app.
On your phone, on incognito.
What do you mean on my phone? I don't have incognito on my phone.
Incognito.
When I... You mean like a Chrome app?
Yeah. Okay, can someone explain this to her? Okay, incognito window. You open up the private mode. Yes, Nicole says Safari has private mode, and Google Chrome has an incognito window so that you can't track. That's where you do all your naughty business on, okay?
Naughty. It's not naughty, okay?
Oh my God. All right, we all know Christine's straight edge here. Me, not so much.
Natasha is trying to So, yeah, we already went through my, I don't know how we got on that tangent. What's your next thing, Natasha?
Okay, so my next thing is, I have liked doing FaceTime meeting first if they're up for it. Okay, so I did this with two guys like over pandemic and honestly, like, it sets my nerves back. Like, we only do like either 30 minutes. We do get a lot of our talking out, so if like we feel like we don't really mesh, then at least like I didn't have to, you know, get up and go somewhere, you know, and mm-hmm. I have to like leave awkwardly, you know. Yeah, so at least I don't have to like get up and leave awkwardly, and I can see them and what they look like, and they can see me and what I look like. It's not like full bodied, so at least like you're seeing like this. But I have really enjoyed the FaceTime meeting. I don't know if this would work for you, Christine, because I know you like to meet people quickly, and I would rather have them. I would rather test them out first.
Yeah. So I fucking hate FaceTime, so I would never want to do that. What I do, my thing is that, okay, I want to, the first day, I will now make sure it is like a 2-hour window, like that it's not going to last forever. Cause I, in my early 20s, when I first started going on dates, like made the mistake of not like doing something that has a cap, you know? And I made a video about this back in like 2012, but I went on this horrible first date that lasted forever. And I, it was the guy that was like, "Are you impressed?" I don't know if anyone's seen that video. It's called Dates on Poland Bananas 20. And mm-hmm. you could go there and watch the whole story. I'll link it in the show notes. But it was horrible. And it went on and on and on. He took me like to get drinks. And then he took me to go to a club. And then at the club, he like wanted to do this and that. And it was just like, oh my God, get me out of here. This is a horrible day. It's been horrible since the drinks. And I can't get out of it because he planned a whole night. And the same thing happened. I went on a date in London when I was studying abroad there. And it was like, again, like one of my first dates. And I was thinking that we were going to get dinner, but we were actually just at like a wine place. And I hadn't eaten because I came straight from work. And it went on and on because he had planned after the wine place to go to this club with live music. And like, there was no food. And I was just like, I didn't get home till really late. I was starving. Like, it was just horrible. And after those, I'll suggest coffee for the first date. And I want it to be during the day so that I can be like, I'm doing this after this. So I have to leave at this time. And like when I first met, I just keep using John as an example, but like I was like, I had 2 hours on my car parking, like street parking. So at the 2-hour mark, I was like, okay, I gotta go. because often also I'm so anxious on these first dates. Like I have no concept if I know if I don't like the person, but like if it's going well, like I just like have, I'm in such like this head buzz that I will just talk forever if they're still there. So I need it too, so that I can like get out of there and stop being an anxious bunny for the rest of time. So coffee date. A lot of people will suggest drinks, and I will like tolerate that depending on how well they are at talking over text.
The whole drinks thing is interesting because it's like, okay, I guess I have to eat beforehand. And then like when I was working, like I had to be able to get off of work and then get home, like redo my makeup, my hair, and then like eat really fucking fast and then go to the date for drinks. And then I remember this one guy was like we went to this like speakeasy underground. He's like, "You want to go get like want to go walk around and go to a bar?" I'm like, "No, I have work tomorrow morning." 11 o'clock.
Yeah. A lot of times those date ones end like after the drinks. You have like 2 hours talking and you leave though, so that's nice. I forget where we were going with this rule. The window. Okay, so another one of my things is that if I'm enjoying talking to this person over text, like I need to meet them within the week, because I will create a persona, like I was saying, based on their profile, because I'm not like seeing them in person. And it will start to get really weird after a week, like, because I've already, you become attached to a fake, like, not necessarily fake, but to an idea of a person. You don't know what this person is actually like until you see them in person moving and talking and interacting.
It's like a disembodied voice.
Yes. And it's not even a voice. It's like, because you don't know what they sound like. So you're like creating their voice in their head too. And sometimes in person, they, like I said, completely different from what they presented. Or in person, like there's no chemistry, you know. Because again, I really don't feel like the chemistry unless I'm in person with somebody. And if it's not working there, then I don't want to keep talking. And I've had these instances, so I've learned from really past mistake. Like when I first went on to Tinder again after my first boyfriend, like I talked to this guy for like 2 weeks before I met him. And I met him in person and there was just like no, like, in-person attraction, but the date went on forever because we've been talking for 2 weeks, and like we had like inside jokes, and he had like brought like a balloon because of like an inside joke, and I forget what the joke was. Yes. And
was it like the red balloon thing?
Yes. And like I felt so terrible because in person he was nothing like what I had imagined, and there was no like chemistry for me. So if there's no chemistry, we can't keep seeing each other. But I still went on a second date because I felt so bad because we had talked so much over text message, and I don't ever want that to happen. And it happened again like last year when the same thing happened. Because of extenuating circumstances, we couldn't meet for over a week, and it was like at the 2 week mark. And in person, he was nothing like his pictures at all. So I felt like completely catfished because I don't know if I've talked about this. The pictures were 7 years old.
Oh, yeah.
7 years old. I was just like, I couldn't even, when he like said hello, I was like, who is this person? He looked nothing like it, because it was like the difference between like a man who's aged a lot and like his picture from college. Like it was just like, it was, God. I couldn't put two and two together. And again, he was very sweet, but it was like, I've been catfished. Like this is literally like unrecognizable.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So meeting within the week has become an important rule for me because I always regret it when it's always bad if you go longer than that.
I, along with like my full bodied photos, I do, again, this is something like I have to protect myself so much. I have to state the fact that I'm plus size in my bio somewhere, and it's so ridiculous, but it's like, again, if you're a plus size woman dating, there's so much fat phobia that goes on, and like you're just opening yourself up to so much hate. And it's like the people who can get past that, they shouldn't even be able to get past it. They should just, it's ridiculous. Anyways, but I have to protect myself. So I have to state that I'm plus size in my bio. So that is one of my rules for online dating across all of them. Yes. And I like one time, one of those FaceTime dates, I was like, I'm like, you want to make sure that you know I'm plus size, right? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Abby says, Natasha, give me your haters name. Abby, there's too many of them. There's just random weirdos all on the internet.
People are assholes on the internet because they're not in person. It's just, they're just so rude, and there's too many.
Vania says, I dated a guy long distance, and after months of not seeing each other, when we would meet, it would always feel like I'm talking to someone who isn't the human who lived in my phone.
Yes, this is so real. Like, until you meet in person, it's so different. Talking on the phone though is like an important quality, I feel like, to me in a relationship. I want to be able to talk on the phone, and if you can't talk on the phone, that's another thing, like, then this isn't gonna work. I'm so like, if you can't talk good, if you don't have communication skills, this is not gonna work. If you don't have anything in your bio on Tinder, if it's just like, here's my handle, or like, one word, no.
Do you want to go again?
Sure. Well, just to expand on the phone thing, I've also learned this through the years. Like, so with my first boyfriend, when we talked on the phone, there was like no conversation. It felt like I was talking to a stranger. It was so weird. And it, because we didn't talk on the phone, there was like this missing aspect, I feel like, to the relationship. It was weird. And so when we were like apart from each other, like on different coasts or, you know, like traveling, and it was so weird when we were on the phone. It was like awkward. And so with my next relationship, like immediately I was like, I feel like we should talk on the phone. Like, let's stop texting, let's call. And it was the best. And also it, like, I just felt so much closer to that person because we could talk so well all the time. And again, with my first relationship, I feel like there was a thing where I would always feel, you know, that feeling when like you're not having a conversation, you feel like you have to like search for something to talk about. Like, I feel like I felt like that all the time. And if you are feeling like that, I feel like it's not going to work long term.
Yeah. Yeah. Katie brings up a good point. She goes, LOL, y'all are like, these are my random dating rules. And I'm like, it's literally just asking a guy to be a well-rounded person with basic decency. No, it is. And it's so sad that there's not
there's
a lot of that out there.
There's such a low bar on these apps. Like, that's what's so sad about it. Because you go into it feeling like, of course people would ask questions. Of course they're like going to make an effort to like at least speak on a basic level. But people don't.
Well, and I think a lot of it is because there's so much hookup culture like surrounding the apps, and it's like we are two humans literally just trying to find a life partner, and the last thing we want to do, like Christine and I have never used the apps as like a hookup thing. We don't like that. Okay. There are so many people who are using it that way, and that's fine. You can do what you want. And like, I encourage that if that is what your heart wants, but it's like, it's hard when you're also like very serious about being in a relationship and these people are just not getting it.
Well, like, I don't swipe on anyone who says that in their profile, because some people will be like, I'm looking for short term. Yeah, some people will, but I like that. Just put it down. Just say it. Because then you don't get these weird connections. But I don't think my profile gives hookup vibes at all. So no. I don't know why anyone would ever swipe on me. Emily said that her number one rule is that they have to show some type of interest, such hobby on their profile. And so many guys have no interest. And that's one of my rules, is that like I have to connect with something that they've said in their profile. Like,
yes.
One of their answers has to be like, oh, yeah, me too. Or like, haha, that's funny. Like, I need to see something that I feel connected to. It can't just be cute pictures. And because, yeah, like you said, so many people are, I don't know, just don't have that same outlook on life where they like stuff.
Lots of passions. And honestly, this goes into my next rule, which weeded out so many non-nerds in the dating life. Okay, I used to use the quote, not all who wander are lost. And that's like, a lot of people use that as like a generic quote, but it's actually from The Lord of the Rings. So I would say like, I'm like, who says not all who wander are lost, and where is it from? And if someone responded to that and they were like, Gandalf, Lord of the Rings, I'm like, you're my person. Like, now, like, everyone just uses like Avengers characters. And I feel like Avengers are, you know, Marvel is just so, it's still nerdy, but it's more mainstream now. So, and I'm like, if you're a Lord of the Rings guy, I want to marry you.
So going along with that, like connecting with the answer thing, I've started now having a rule for myself that like, if I'm not attracted to them in all the pictures, then like I shouldn't meet them in person, because most of the time, like if you're not attracted to them in some of the pictures, if you'd like, then you meet in person and you're not attracted to them. And then it's like just uncomfortable and weird.
Yeah.
So that's like another thing with like presenting your real self, and why I work really hard to like present all the facets of real me on there, because I don't ever want that to happen. But yeah, so many people don't present like they're actually what they look like. And then in person, if there's no chemistry, then like you don't want to. I've made that mistake. And then it ultimately will always come to bite you and be very uncomfortable and sad. Like if there's no chemistry, then like you don't want a relationship without chemistry.
Yeah. And I feel like that was when my one and only boyfriend, I really tried to make it happen because I wanted the experience. And I was not at all attracted to him. And then it ended up just being like very cringe on my part. So the last thing I want is for someone else to think that of me.
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel the same way. And so it's like, I'm going to present real, please.
Sorry, I found a lot people, of
chat stuff that I'm trying to read.
Emily says, I found people I know on apps where their picture was stolen to create a fake account, too.
Oh, my God. Off apps.
Oh, yeah. That is scary. I just saw a whole story about that on TikTok where, like, this girl was going to meet this guy who was, like, on social media, had more of a following on social media. But turns out she was being catfished and literally was just, like, at the bar staring at her and said, texted her and was like, oh, I saw you got into the Uber to go home. Here, let me get you an Uber so you can come to my house. Like, how scary.
Wait, what? Now a lot of the apps have verification thing, which I like. So like you have to like do this thing with your face so that it knows that your face matches your profile and you can see if people are verified, which is nice. But it doesn't let you verify yourself for like a couple days after you get the app. I was like, where's my, why can't I verify myself? And then a couple days in, it was like, verify. So that's a good thing that they've added. And of course, another rule is like, always tell someone exactly where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're going. And I feel like I've asked like dudes on these dates if they've told someone where they're going. They're like, no, I guess I'm just not worried.
Well, like, of course they aren't. They're guys.
I know. But at the same time, I'm like, anyone could be anyone. So you should be worried. Tell someone where you're going to be. All right. Do you have any other that you want to share here?
Also a good if you're the friend that the person has told, I have Christine's location, so
yes.
You can literally put on the like Find My Friend app like an alert to let you know when they've left the place that they are at, and then I'll follow her home or I'll call her and be like, how was it?
Yeah, the second I get out, I'm usually like, Natasha.
But that's a good tip if you're the friend or the family member.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so along with interests, a big thing for me is Disneyland. So I never made the... Wait, that's wrong. My first date was I did go to Disneyland with... But I was only there for like an hour and then we went and had dinner. I remember my brother telling me when I was like early stages of dating, like in my early 20s, he's like, don't go on dates at Disneyland. You're going to be stuck there forever. And I'm like, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah. Don't get stuck.
I'll be fine. There'll be other friends I can go hang out with. But I think it's for me, Disneyland is a huge like social place for me to go. And I always put in my bio, like loves to go to Disneyland. So if a guy also has a pass, that would be great. Because like my dream is like always, you know, all of my friends and their partners always go to Disneyland and take such cute pictures together. And that's what I want. I want a Disneyland partner. Thank you very much.
Okay. I have one more that I do now. So my other rule is that I will not ghost someone if we've gone to texting, because I would hate if someone did that to me. It's very upsetting. So I will always respond until I've said the little like, hey, I don't think this is going to work out, blah, 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 blah. Like I have. So a tip is also, once you do that once, save the text message so you can just edit it. Put it in your notes so you can edit it for the person and copy paste it. It's just like, it's so much kinder to let someone know. Just be honest. because it's really you just get anxious. You're just constantly anxious until you know what's going on. Like, I hate being on the other end of an unanswered text, especially. I mean, it's fine if it's like a friend, like whatever. But if it's not the same thing as like a romantic interest, it's like, okay, well, they fucking hate me. Why have they been leading me on?
Yeah. I've ghosted pretty hard in the past, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a live and you learn sort of a thing, I feel like, because you figure out, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that through doing it.
Yeah, I think, like, the two times where that's happened, it was like more like a mutual ghost. Because we're both like, yeah, this is not working, so just stop responding.
Yeah.
If they message me, like, multiple times, then of course I'm going to respond to them.
Yeah, yeah. If it's just, like, if you haven't met in person, it's different, too. Like, I had this one person, I remember, like, at the beginning of last year, that we had planned a, like, meeting, and then they got sick. And, like, this was before I had my unemployed role. And, like, they were between jobs. And after, like, he was, like, they said that, like, after a week that they'll, like, they'll check in and like reschedule. And when they didn't, I checked in because I don't like to leave stuff like up in the air. And they were like, I actually don't think it's a good time for me to be dating because I'm in between jobs. And I was like, okay, well, you could have just texted them. Like, just say it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have more to discuss, and we're
over time. So we are going to, like, if you could design a dating app, what would it look like? What would it be called? We thought that would be a fun little creative prompt here. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to start? Do you want to start?
I have two, so why don't you sandwich in between mine?
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this one's very niche. Disneyland dating, as I had already said. I just feel like I'm always there and everyone's there with couples and family and stuff, but there's definitely a lot of single people there. So I think, like, if Disneyland had like a dating app where they're like, if you're single, like, here, put your profile on. And so that everyone with like annual passes can find each other and know, like, okay, well, maybe let's try going on a date at Disneyland, or like Disneyland has like fun little dating spots that they have like around that you can go. And I don't know, I think that would be really cute. And also like exactly what I'm looking for.
So what would you call this?
Disneyland dating. That's Disney dates. I don't know, something like that.
Disney dates.
Disney match. Emily says.
All right. Okay. So my dating app would be called Like, and I feel like this is a $1 million idea. Maybe it's already been done. I feel like a dating app that works off of common niche interests would be so helpful. So, like, there are categories, like, once you make your profile that you can, like, click into, and then those people who have that common interest would be the only people coming up to, like, look at their profiles and like it or not. So if you were specifically wanted to find someone that, like, liked Shadowhunter books, there'd be, like, a category to go to and be like, this, and it would be like, okay, there's 5 people in this category.
Oh my gosh.
And then, like, you look through them and, like, see if you match. And if you heart them, then, like, you'll pop up, like, on Hinge, and they can look at yours and see if they like you and heart. Like, it would be so much easier to find people who, like, are passionate about the same things if there was a dating app like that. And, like... you could look that way, because even books in general, like, I know Hinge does, like, show me more people who have the word books on their profile, because I, like, will like a person with the word books on their profile. You know, it does that. Like, wait, if you like a person that's a dentist, all of a sudden, like, you'll get a lot of dentists. Like,
oh my gosh.
It's so weird how that algorithm works. And it, like, I find that if I like a person whose name is like Steve, for example, all of a sudden a lot of Steves are showing up, and it's like, I'm not specifically picking them because of their fucking name.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, on this, on my dating app, it would be like kind of like Hinge, but way more niche. And like, I know you don't like, I'm not talking about Nicole just said a Steve fetish. Oh my gosh. Yeah, like I wouldn't want it to like get like weird and fetishy up in like, but like just like interest. Up in like if you like. If you like skiing, if you like if you like dance, like you can go to those categories and find someone.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And also I have a rule in there. So what would happen is like, so once they like you back, the chat would open, and then you have a week before the chat will just disappear. So you have to like get to know each other and plan a meeting before that, or go to text message. So before that you lose them as a person. So you can't just sit there forever and like never open the chat if you're actually interested. Because like so many people on Hinge will just match and then never talk.
Yes, I realize my name is not gender neutral, so I'm like trying to really fangirl and boy. It needs to be something that's more like gender neutral. But this is an app that I was thinking of because I love being a nerd on apps and finding other nerds. So I think this is like specifically for nerds. So matching them together, and then you have to enter in a nerd off with a person that you're interested in to break the ice.
I love that.
So it starts like that like cute banter, and then
what
like
kind of nerd off?
Well, so that's the thing, like if your interests match, it could just be like so general.
I feel like our two ideas here mesh really well.
yeah So it would be like, so like you would go into the like, and then if you match with that person with the same interest, then to break the ice you have to do a nerd off.
Yeah That would be really cute. We should make this up.
We should. This is a great idea.
All right, to wrap up our main discussion today, we're just gonna talk about Valentine's Day in general. How do you feel about Valentine's Day? How have you felt as a single gal? How have you felt in like earlier days? I feel like it changes as you get older. How is it going?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a day, but definitely in high school. It was, here's the thing. I always made something a holiday where I could celebrate. So it was Single Awareness Day in high school for me. And then my friends and I would bake like heart-shaped cakes, and then we would go heart attack boys' houses. And that's where you cut out like hearts in like pink and red and white paper, and then glue them on like forks or stakes, and then you'd stick them in the lawn.
What the fuck?
You never heard of this?
No.
Yeah, and then we'd stick them in the lawn so that they would, you know, there would be hearts all in their lawn.
So it's like a nice attack.
Yeah, it's called heart attack though.
And you'd put it in like the boy's lawn that you like.
Yeah.
We would do this a lot with
what?
Do they see you doing it?
We would knock on their door so that. So like we would do this a lot like with our church friends, and so we would like bake the cakes and do the hearts, and then it was like the boys in our same grade. So usually it was fun because my brother and I are twins, so then he would like text them, be like, come on out. And then I remember one time we were like driving away, and like one of the dads like chased us. He's like, come back here. It was fun.
Why? Because you put a heart?
It was funny. Yes.
Oh my gosh, this is so weird. That would be so mortifying for me.
Like in high school, we had fun.
I'd be so scared to do anything. Well, like
it's because
that.
It's because I had a twin brother in the same grade, and who all of his best friends were all the guys that we all liked. So it was
different dynamic.
Or they were just goofy, funny boys that were friends. So
I didn't have friends who were boys in high school.
Really?
I remember, like, one of my friends was like, Christine doesn't talk to boys. And it wasn't that I don't talk to boys. It was like, I don't talk to anyone who doesn't talk to me because I don't talk to people. And so, I mean, like, I think, like, senior year, I had a few people, like, that I would call my friends, obviously. I mean, by that point. But I wasn't, like, I wasn't the one that started talking. They were brought into the group by, like, Jenna, you know? Like, they were brought into the group by someone else. And then I was, like, we became loose friends. But I never was, like, close friends with a boy in high school or any other years before that. I didn't even have a brother till I was 8. So he was my first male friend. I feel like I was like kind of afraid.
You probably like, were.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, all right. What were we talking? Oh, yeah, the Valentine's Day in high school. In high school, it was the only time for me that I started to feel really self-conscious about, like, not being in a partnership. And it wasn't until, like, one of my close friends was in a relationship. Because once, like, everyone, no one has somebody on Valentine's Day, it's like, whatever. It's just another day. And in elementary and middle school, like, everyone would exchange, like, those little Valentine's Day cards.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And so it was like everyone got one, so it was never a big deal. But yeah, it wasn't until like late high school that I started to be like, oh, Valentine's Day coming, I'm gonna be the only person like left out. But I never was, because I had like at least some single friends. It's not like everyone's paired off.
Yeah, that's why I did Single Awareness Day. And everyone baked well, cakes together.
Like an event. Like,
it was an event. Like, I make everything
it's Valentine's
event.
Day, whatever. So, okay. Have you ever given your crush a specific Valentine? Natasha, you said you did? What, yeah. How did it go? What happened?
I think it was just so dumb and little. Like with the cakes, then we would deliver the cakes to the boys, and I was in love with my brother's best friend Dakota, and he knows this. We talk about it all the time. I'm just like, and I remember like texting and being like, would you be my Valentine? And it was bad. I was like fully like he's like, no. So mean to me. He's a butthead.
Yeah,
it's fine. Could never... my little 16-year-old heart was crushed, but
I could never. Oh my god!
It's because we already had that rapport, you know.
Yeah.
Again, like I think our situations are very different because I literally had like the male species with me all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was so different.
It was so different. Yeah.
I was like, "What's a boy?" So yeah, my first boyfriend was Edward Cullen, for real. Like, oh,
I
my god,
same. I had cardboard cutouts
a
that
nice
I would like
boy. All right, so we're gonna move right into our Mary Kiss clip for the day.
Mary Kiss Cliff this week, and I made it extra hard. It's all the Herondale boys.
This is
so
mean.
Will Herondale, James Herondale, and Jace Herondale.
This is a cruel Mary Kiss Cliff. I'm gonna marry Will. He's my forever book husband. But I also would love to marry Jace. But I'm just gonna kiss Jace, and I'm going to murder Jamie.
Why?
Because I don't have anyone else to murder.
Okay.
Love both all three of these people, okay? I don't know what to do.
I know. I'm gonna marry James. I'm going to
You are?
Wow. Yeah. James is the marrying type. I mean, so is Will.
So is Will.
I know. I'm gonna kiss Will because he is a bit more fun. James is like, he's so stoic, but I love him. And I'm sorry, but I'm gonna cliff Jace.
I just like, Jace is the marrying type too. He's just troubled in the beginning, but if you see him in the new series, he's fully evolved into a really wonderful, hilarious person who cares so much.
But honestly, like, if I think about it, he was such a little a-hole in the beginning of City of Bones. I don't think my
he's a bad boy with a heart of gold, Natasha.
No. I could not take it. You can't be mean to me, then I won't like you.
But he wasn't mean to Clary.
I mean, true, but he definitely teased her. I mean, like, I don't, yeah.
I like that.
Katie says, I would unsubscribe so fast if either of you cliffed William Owen Harrington.
Why would we ever cliff Will? Ever. Will's ever, the best. Ever. He is the best. Prime. So if you don't know any of these people, they are from Cassandra Clare's books, and you would love them too, probably, if you read her books, if you haven't read them yet. They're amazing humans. Every Herondale I am in love with. All right. This week, we are discussing chapters 20 and 21 of ACOTAR. We've been rereading ACOTAR by Sarah J. Maas. We're really finally getting into the shit, like the meat. Finally. The meat of the story. Let's jump into chapter chat! Is the spring ceremony. What did you rate this chapter, Natasha? Interesting, next chapter, or amazing?
Interesting. Interesting, but also like next chapter, because like we just meet Rhysand at the end.
Yeah, but we meet him.
Yeah, true. So interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So she feels this invisible tug, and she thinks it's the drums, but do you think it's Rhysand? Because I think it's Rhysand.
I never thought of that.
It's the string. Yeah, because he talks about it later on, that he had this invisible string. It's their invisible string. This chapter is Taylor Swift's song, Invisible Strings. So she is pulled. Okay, but before the fucking festival, we can't. I don't know why anyone ever liked Tamlin. Like, I now rereading this, he's like, no explanation. You're not invited. Stay in your room. Lock the door. Don't come out till morning. He's not nice about it at all.
No, I feel like he like manhandle her as well?
He manhandles her in the next chapter. This chapter, he just bitches at her, and she's like, why? You have to tell a person why. It's so condescending to be like, go to your room. Like, she's not a fucking child. Ugh. And yeah, like, so Tamlin's like half naked saying this too, like a big brute.
This is the part of the book that I remember reading for the first time, because I wanted something so desperately to happen between the two of them. And I'm like, ew, like, get off of her.
And he does this thing where, like, after he says, like, go to your room, stay there till morning, he reaches out to touch her. And I was like, don't fucking touch her. And he thinks better of it. And I was like, yeah, fuck off. Fear is not a relationship tool. Like, that's abuse.
Yeah. Okay, but obviously Farrah doesn't listen, and she goes towards whatever the string is pulling her to, and then we come upon the pre-ceremony.
Yeah, and she thinks that he's like going to battle the way he's acting. Like, you have to explain. Why do you have a bow? It's just like, what are you doing? All right. So she goes to the festival, and these Naga, I think, come up and talk to her.
Were they Naga, or did they remind her of Naga?
She come she compared them to Naga. Mm-hmm. And then they're not going to leave her alone. And who comes to her, quote, rescue in terms of being like, oh, I was looking for you. But Raisand!
Yes, he saves her.
He's wonderful.
And I just love, like, everything that, like, she turns around and she looks upon the most beautiful man she's ever seen in her life.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read this, though, being so suspicious of him because of how Tamlin has gaslighted us about every other fae that there is. Like, everyone wants to murder you. Like, he is so terrible. So when she sees Raisand, she's like, I feel like there's something there that I shouldn't stay with him. I shouldn't trust him. And because of the plants that he has laid in her mind. But Raisand is like, can I escort you somewhere? Like, can I help you?
What are you doing here? Why are you a human in this world?
Yeah, do I look like I'm from the Spring Court?
Yeah, he like gestures to his face. It's like, there is no mask.
We don't know anything about the other courts, so she says like there's starlight coming off of him.
Yeah, and then she also says that every movement is exquisite and laced with power, and that he has remarkable eyes.
So then Lucien finds her.
Oh wait. Yeah, okay. Hold on. So Raisand says, like, she's like, why are you here? I thought this was only for the Spring Court, after he gestures to his face. And he's like,
oh yeah,
this is the night where all fairies can roam, and I can roam until dawn. So this is like the one and only time he's probably out from under the mountain.
Yeah, because of the ceremony. Don't all the High Lords have to be present, they said?
I think so, which I find it's interesting because we learn later on that we'll get there that like Tamlin has to, all the terrible magic has to enter him. Like, why is it only Tamlin that this happens?
Well, because this is the spring ceremony. So I'm thinking that like for every season, there's probably some other ritual. But for this area, he has to take in all this magic and then have sex with the female of his choice, but he's out of his mind because the magic is all inside of him, so he's just a beast, which honestly is already a fucking beast, and he has to have sex with someone, and that like cements the magic into the land, like, for the rest harvest of the year or something. So Lucien finds her and he's like, what are you doing here? Tamlin's gonna be so mad. I gotta get you out of here. And does he like pick her up and run her back to the mansion?
He does. I think Lucien was, I don't know if he was scared for her or scared of Tamlin, but it seemed like he was scared for her. Probably both.
Yeah. And it's like, maybe if somebody would have had the decency to explain what the hell was going on, she would have been aware of the danger. But I feel like part of him wanting her to stay in the room was territorialness. He doesn't want anyone to know about her or see her or meet her, is what it feels like to me. There's this underlying isolation aspect to what he's asking of her, because he doesn't explain it at all. He's just like, so Lucien explains the ceremony.
So Lucien explains the ceremony in that if Feyre would have stayed there, Tamlin would have smelled Feyre and claimed her, and it wouldn't be the way that she would think. It would be a rough coupling.
And then, okay, and he tells her to stay in her room, but like come 2 a.m. she hears like someone coming home and she's hungry, so she like comes out, even though everyone has told her not to come out because he's like a raging monster of magic. It's like, what are you doing? And then he comes up to her and corners her against the wall and is like, I smelled you. I wanted you. It drove me mad. And she's like, he says that the woman he picked told him not to be gentle, but I would have been gentle with you. As he pushes her up against a corner and then he bites her. He bites her fucking neck, like actually bites her like an animal. I would have been, you're not even being gentle with her right now. Please, bitch. Gentle. You don't know what gentle is. Ugh. And then he just starts like grinding up against
her. Yeah. I remember reading this the first time being like, oh my gosh, finally. Like,
oh my God. I was just like, no. I can't believe this was ever a ship. He's so obnoxious. And she says, like, stop biting me, you brute. Yeah. And like slaps her. No, slaps him.
She slaps him. And then my favorite thing is, like, she's in the kitchen getting, like, a midnight snack or something. And then all of a sudden, like, Tamlin's there and he goes, going somewhere.
What the? Like, I'm in the kitchen. I'm already here.
It was like, this is a ridiculous holiday. This is stupid.
She has a cookie. And it's like, yeah, I got a cookie. Obviously, use your eyes.
Well, she slaps him because he says, don't disobey me again. And then she goes, oh, yeah.
I was just like, did you actually just say that? This man.
After you just, like,
bit her.
Assaulted her.
And, like, pushed her up against the wall. It's like, I feel like, I don't know if he thinks he's being sexy by biting her, but it's like, do you know any, like, normal person? I don't even, this is not a fae thing that they go up and just bite someone.
Like, it's a vampire thing.
Yeah, I know. And even so, it's like, you guys haven't kissed or anything. It's weird for you to just go up and bite her. She said it was like a territorial thing, too. And it's just gross.
Well, at least we met Rhysand.
I hate Tamlin. I'm so ready for him to be gone. I'm so excited for the next book already. All right. Well, that was chapter 20 and 21. So next week, we're going into 22 and 23. I'm now excited because I want to know how everything unfolds, because I forget all the details of their relationship, really. And next week, we will be really getting into it, I think.
I think things are starting to happen now.
Yes. This chapter, I think, is also interesting. I wouldn't rate it amazing because it pissed me off.
Yes.
But it was definitely interesting. All right.
Past Natasha would have been like, amazing.
I never, again, I wasn't on board, but I was like, finally, things are happening. That is our show for today. If you have any feedback, we would love to hear it. You can email us at thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com. Please leave us a comment on the YouTubes. Make sure you're following us in all the different places. We also have Instagram at thoseforkingfangirls. And we are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time. Thank you so much for being here. All the links to the different things we talked about are in the show notes. Our podcast is edited by Jake Needham and Alex Polis. The music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we will see you next Friday. Goodbye.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged.
If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.